Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are coming to you from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank. We love Renaissance Bank and the great hosts they are for our studio location here in beautiful Alpharetta. I want to welcome, we got a great guest, and he's a fun guest. He really is a fun guest, but I'm going to let him convince you of that, folks. Garrett Massey with Polyglot Labs. Good Garrett, it's great to have you here.
Thank you, sir.
So you win the award, the Business Radio X award that I've just come up with for the most creative names for a company, right? You've got three different creative names for the different enterprises you're involved with. Tell us about Polyglot Labs and what you do.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Polyglot Labs is a technology solutions company that's comprised of currently a couple of different labs, one called iSOAR and one called Cortex. iSOAR is a website design and development company that works with small and large businesses as well as digital marketing agencies as a white label partner to design and develop really good looking websites. Cortex is an application development company that creates both web and mobile apps focused on solving some type of workflow, business process issue, streamlining things, and making the end client as well as the business more money.
Cool. So for those that already know you, this is a little bit of a change. Sure. So you were originally iSOAR, and you've just changed the name of the let's call it the mother company to Polyglot Labs, and then you've got two different business lines, and you've clearly defined those with these two names, iSOAR and Cortex Digital.
Sure.
I got all that right.
You did. Yes.
Okay, cool.
Our brand release was actually last Friday for Polyglot Labs. Mm-hmm. So a few of our partners had heard the name prior to that point, but most of our clients and partners were not familiar with it. So it gave us an opportunity to kind of branch out. We're still doing the same types of work that we've done, but gives us the ability to kind of focus our marketing efforts and really how we engage with our clients in kind of a more individual way.
Sure. So I find it interesting that you call these two entities labs.
Yeah.
Explain why.
Yeah, definitely. So we chose to use the terminology labs internally because we really like the feel of an experimental approach. We do not come to the table with a solution that's in our back pocket. We do not come to the table with a product off the shelf. What we do come to the table with is a process that we can use to hone in on what the best solution is for any particular client. What that's done for us and for our clients is it helps us hone in on what exactly they need. Our clients' needs, and gives us the ability to do work that's a little bit different every time. Kind of keeps our creative folks really engaged in the process because we're not doing the same thing day in and day out. There's always a little bit of a challenge there.
And you're not, I guess, pushing product, as it were. I hate that term. But you're not focused in on what your sacred elephants are.
Sure.
Or sacred cows or whatever animal that is. you're really about looking at clients from what their needs are and what the problems they need solutions for, as opposed to whatever you've got on the shelf.
Oh, yeah, exactly. One of my favorite examples of that, I get probably two or three phone calls a week from, this is anywhere from small business to large business, wanting an app. Everybody wants an app. And the first thing I do is try to talk them out of it because that's, it's a profitable line of business for us. It's a shiny object for a lot of people, but it's not a good fit for most scenarios. So taking that off the table, taking a step back and evaluating what folks really need
Sure.
gives us the ability to kind of help them nail down what will ultimately serve them the best.
And sometimes clients don't know what they need.
Oh, true.
Right? So you have to – that requires a little bit of a – it's not that they are dumb or anything like that.
True.
It's just that having that conversation and having that open inquiry as to, hey, we may not have everything on the shelf, so let's talk a little bit about what it is you're trying to get to. May help them clarify some things they really didn't have a good handle on to begin with, just because they hadn't been asked the questions.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We believe in doing discovery up front is really, really key. We work with clients that have an amazing technical competency, and we work with folks that don't. You know, and they know a lot about their business, a lot about their problems, a lot about what they think that they need from a technology solution, but we get to help them kind of step through that process and work out what winds up being the best solution.
So let's talk a little bit, Garrett, about the ISOR side of the business. So ISOR builds websites. That's not like you're my teenager in the garage, you know, building with the website builder, right?
Yeah.
It's a little more complicated than that in terms of the kind of projects that you do.
It is. So I started ISOR 12 and a half years ago as a website design and development company, right? That's kind of where we focused on. My background at that point had been in computer science. I'd just gotten out of college. So I always had an interest in more complex projects. And we still do, you know, brochureware websites, you know, five page, you know, about us, homepage, contact us kind of deal.
Sure.
Because those do really serve an important purpose. We also develop more in-depth websites a lot of times for a lot of our marketing agency partners, kind of other partners. We serve as their technical team to help implement what their client ultimately needs. So roughly 60 to 70% of the work that we do on the ISOR side of the world is in that white label space where we're partnering with a digital agency, a traditional marketing agency, video event planning agencies to ultimately design and develop their clients' projects. And that can look like a five-page website, or that can look like a 12,000-page website that has a lot of custom functionality built in.
And for those that don't know, that's pretty common in the world of marketing agencies, digital agencies, that kind of thing, to partner together. And so you really come along as the highly technical side of a marketing agency that really don't have any of those kind of folks typically, right?
Oh,
I
sure,
mean, they're more, I guess, right-brained kind of creative types, and they don't have that technical expertise. You bring that to them.
Definitely. The, you know, marketing agencies, a lot of them, especially in the Atlanta area, began to realize several years ago that it's not in their clients' best interest and it's not in their best interest to keep everything in-house. So the number of partnerships that we've seen, not only in just the, you know, marketing agency hiring a developer to write a website or whatever, but, you know, video production, you know, event production, AI, all the cool stuff that goes into a successful marketing campaign, they're realizing that, hey, we can partner with somebody else and we can kind of hone in and focus because there's enough work for everybody to go around.
Sure.
And if, you know, they can partner with the best in the business to do each particular aspect of what they do, the end client ultimately gets a better product, a better experience, and it shows.
Folks, we're speaking with Garrett Massey, and Garrett is the president and founder of Polyglot Labs. Now, talk a little bit, if you would, about, I mean, it's one thing for me to say you build a lot more sophisticated websites. It's another thing to put that into something that our folks out there understand. Talk a little bit about maybe an example of some of the work you've done there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, on the ISOR side, you know, we've worked on many, many complex projects over the years on the website side of the world. One of my most memorable projects, one of the agencies that was employed by the U.S. military was hit up by the U.S. military to build a new website for the U.S. Third Army, which is the Army that is the combination of the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, all that that's stationed over in Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, all the places that you really don't want to be.
Oh, wow.
They had a timeline of 2 weeks to build a what turned out to be a 12,000-page website. So we were able to successfully not only design, develop, and launch a website in that time frame, we also had to learn an entirely new programming language and content management system to actually execute that project. So it actually took 2.5 weeks only because they held us up. So it's kind of one of the more memorable projects on the website side of the world. On the application side of the world, we developed the application that the 2016 Democratic National Convention used to assign all of the hotel rooms to their delegates.
Oh.
So it's not just a matter of having 50 different delegation groups. It's actually about 1,000.
Mm.
So each state, each lobbying group, the Kennedy family has a delegation. It's kind of crazy. But prior to the solution that we developed being in place, they were actually planning all this using Post-it notes. So they'd have a big empty wall, and they would write down on the wall or on a Post-it note the name of the delegation, how many attendees they had, and they would mark off the 50-100 different hotels that they had for that particular location for that year. And they would assign, you know, rooms based on Post-it notes. So we were actually able to come in and develop a web application that automated that entire process. It was so successful that they literally had to change the Democrat National Convention Committee's passwords to get them out of it so they could finalize the numbers. They had so much fun in there playing in different scenarios, figuring out, hey, put this group over here, that changes this and that. So,
wow.
Kind of bring it down to, the small business side of the world. Some of the applications we have developed really help streamline processes in a little bit of a different way. One of my favorite examples, we have a relatively local client here in the state of Georgia that's an in-home health care provider. And they have hundreds and hundreds of in-home health care providers that go out to people's homes and assist their folks. They had a time clock system that would involve folks going to these people's homes, picking up a landline and calling in, and it would actually clock them in, and they'd call in again and clock them out. Well, several years ago, there's a little trend, not many people have landlines anymore. So we developed a mobile app that the in-home healthcare providers were able to download on their phones and go out and actually clock in from the app, clock out from the app. We did a cool thing there. We planted a QR code in the folks' homes. So you could scan it with the app, and it would clock you in. Well, QR codes can be copied, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't in the background, but it was it occurred. We actually grabbed their GPS coordinates at the same time that they scanned the QR code.
Oh, boy.
So the first month it was running, we actually busted somebody checking in at McDonald's, a few miles away from the patient's home. So that added a level of kind of validation.
Wow.
And, type of feel to that. We also integrated in that particular application a series of text messages, text messaging system. So anytime there was an availability for a position, the folks in a particular area would receive text messages and did all sorts of cool stuff. So
you were solving, for that client, you were solving a problem they didn't know they had.
Correct. Right? Correct. It was, it was easier, at one point in time when the whole landline thing was relevant, but it had become less so. And they were basically did not have the ability to clock in and clock out. And through developing this process, we kind of weeded out some folks that they didn't necessarily know that they had. So.
Back to what we were saying earlier about bringing solutions to clients as opposed to the product off the shelf. The product off the shelf wouldn't necessarily have solved that problem, right?
No, it would not. It would not. And I mentioned earlier that we enjoy doing a discovery session on the front end of our projects. So mm-hmm. we get a good, clean idea of what's going on. What we also like doing in the word agile in in my world anyways, has been overused to death. It's the idea of iteratively working on solving a problem in chunks of time called sprints.
And right.
So you're kind of stepping through that process.
Mm-hmm.
We enjoy taking elements from that process because we don't want a client to be waiting 18 months for us to build something. We want to be able to put something out that has some value, that has some use, and then work with them to continue improving that. Because, you know, in 18 months, a lot can change in a business.
For sure.
In 3 months, a lot can change in a business. So this the issues that may have been addressed at the very beginning of a project a few months later may have changed, or new ones may come to light.
We're speaking with Garrett Massey, and Garrett is the founder and president of Polyglot Labs. So the applications that you develop come through the Cortex Digital side. I'm curious how that started, because it's interesting that you've developed a pretty sophisticated business out of one that maybe for some companies is not so sophisticated, but you've developed a pretty high-end business in terms of the technology solutions you bring to the table.
Sure, sure. You know, there are a ton of folks out there that build websites, really well.
And nothing against them, by
Absolutely
the way,
not.
Right?
Absolutely
right.
Not. With my background, like I mentioned earlier, my undergrad is in computer science. When starting iStora, I understood a lot of the theory that goes into what makes a computer work, what makes good software work. And so always had an interest in solving more complex problems. Very passionate about building excellent web presences that serve a need, that kind of meet a goal.
Sure.
But we had the opportunity early on to tackle some more in-depth problems that our clients may have. And what it's done for us on the iStore side is give us the ability to be a true technical partner to not only our agency partners, but also our clients. We don't have to, give up because we ran into an issue that we can't solve. We have a whole team of programmers, and that's one of our kind of value adds to our partners is we have an entire team of in-house developers. We're not, it's not just one person. Solopreneurs in our space are great, but they run into the issue of being siloed away from everybody else. And obviously the internet kind of helps mitigate that. But at the end of the day, when you run into an issue and you can lean over to someone sitting next to you and say, hey, what's going on with this? Have you seen this before? And work collaboratively to solve the issue. Gives the end client really a better product and a better experience because, it's all taken care of for them.
For sure. For sure. Now, I'm interested in, and I'm sure our listeners are too, because, there's always a search for talent. How do you get the programming talent you're always looking for, because there's always a shortage of this talent. So how do you get the folks that you're looking for, and how do you get, here's the real secret, how do you get them if you're headquartered in Griffin, Georgia, because that's where your headquarters is? So I mean, that's you've got quite a few issues there you have to address in building your business.
I remember the first time you and I met, you were shocked to learn that I had a problem finding talented programmers in Griffin, Georgia.
Right.
Your mind was blown.
My mind was blown. Yeah, it still is.
Griffin's a really, really cool place, but is not exactly Silicon Valley.
Right.
And that actually has some unique benefits for us. So to answer your first question on how we acquire talent, most of our folks, and we employed 15 or 16 folks, something like that. Most of our folks start out with us as interns, and they're from the area, and so we're having interest in living in the area. One of the most recent fellows we hired, lived up in North Georgia in a small town, wanted to live a little further south in a small town. So it worked out. But we try to keep a steady influx of paid interns in-house to give us the ability to, they can do work for us that we don't have to do. So that's fantastic. But it gives us the ability to kind of get a true insight into folks as to how they work, what where their strengths are, and whether or not they'd be a good fit to kind of keep on a little longer than just an intern.
Sure.
So most of our folks, as I mentioned, are kind of from our area or have a really strong interest in working in our area. We have some folks that work that live and work in Atlanta, but most of our folks are actually down in Griffin.
Pretty cool. So I'm curious about what your this split between with ISOR, with Cortex Digital, this split off that you have with these two, that they're still part of the same company, of course, Polyglot Labs, but why that was, you thought that was necessary. Is it for marketing reasons or solely, or is there something else going on that makes sense?
Yeah, definitely. So we have really from day one had two sides to our house, and there was overlap, and there still is overlap. We've always had a, what we called at the time, a front end and a back end side. Now we call a, you know, kind of a digital presence side and a product development side. And even down to the physical, our physical space, you know, half of our team is in one part of our offices and the other half's in the other. But there has always kind of been a logical distinction there. What we found, back, in the fall, we did a big survey of our clients, current, former clients, and asked them a handful of questions about, you know, what they like about us, what they don't like, which there was not too much. I'm proud of that. But then also kind of what the branding and messaging that we had in place for ISOR kind of meant to them. And what we found was, you know, the types of products and solutions and services that we offer on what's now the ISOR side and what's now the Cortex side really spoke to two different target audiences. And our goal with kind of the split from a marketing perspective was just that. It's for marketing purposes.
Sure.
ISOR has a really, really fun personality. It's really engaging and kind of creative. Cortex is fun and engaging as well, but it's a little more buttoned up. It's the branding that everybody will be seeing kind of roll out over the next several weeks. You know, we're talking about stuff like white papers and you know.
Oh dear.
Yeah, right.
that sounds pretty serious.
It is. It is. Yep. It is. I work with a bunch of really, really, really smart people, thank mm-hmm. goodness. But yeah, so the short answer to your question is yes. It was primarily for marketing purposes. Same team doing the same types of work, just, you know, spinning it a little bit differently.
Okay, so I have to ask, do you spend most of your time on the buttoned up side, or are you over on the kind of wild and crazy side, Garrett? Which side are you on, buddy? I've stumped him, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. No, in our offices, I bring chaos wherever I go.
Right.
So, you know, my personality is definitely more on the ISOR side of the world. But I did tuck my shirt tail in for you today.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. No, seriously, I think you, you bring a lot of fun to your business, and I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that, because that's obviously part of keeping good employees, regardless of how attractive they are. I mean, you know, because good people, whatever they do, sure. will leave sure. If they're not having fun at what they do.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Yeah, it's I think your question there is as how do we retain people and how is fun part of that?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And it really is a huge part. So, I think the biggest thing is not forcing any of it. You know, there's not some master strategy that I put in place to make sure people have X amount of fun till they stay along twice, they'll stay around twice as long or anything like that. Not anything that maniacal or well thought out. But I do believe that if people enjoy what they do, they feel valued, they feel like they're part of a team, and, you know, they will stick around. You know, that's the folks that that work with me have made a conscious decision to, you know, to work with us, and they kind of, you know, they are part of kind of building and defining that culture that we have. When we originally planned on kind of breaking out a piece of ISOR and calling it something else, the idea of Polyglot Labs, of kind of a mother company, was not really on our radar. It was not really part of that plan.
Mm-hmm.
But in kind of talking through and hashing out, started to realize that, hey, people are kind of seeing us kind of split into two different entities, and that, you know, there was not any like bad juju or anything like that going on, but it's still one of those that there was a division there. And, you know, our team is really, really close knit. We go to lunch together every day. We, you know, do all sorts of crazy stuff. We can't talk about the radio every day.
Well, we're not regulated by the FCC.
Oh,
so
sweet. Yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
Right. We're a podcast network.
Yeah,
right?
There you go.
So, okay.
There you go. Well, in case my mom is listening.
Oh, okay. 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 Well, let's button it up.
Exactly,
yeah. Okay.
Exactly. You know, but that's the idea of Polyglot Labs came out of that kind of concern, kind of consciousness,
right?
That being a thing. You know, we wanted folks to feel like they're still part of the same team, because they are. You know, want to feel pride in kind of both sides of the business individually, but everybody's part of the same team, and so I think that feeling is really pervasive in Polyglot, and that's been a big success for us.
So unlike the big tech companies you read about that, you know, they've installed a massage table or a pinball machine or, you know, free lunch or whatever they've got, right? Whatever happy stuff they've got.
Right.
It's really more about how you treat people. Imagine that.
Right? Right?
Imagine that.
Yeah. It's
what a revolutionary concept.
You know, I patented it, trademarked it, and all that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it really is. And that's... you know, we have a very strict no divas rule in our office.
Mm.
So, you know, particularly in the programming world, there are a lot of kind of lone wolf types that are very proud of the way that they do things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't allow that. So that's another kind of facet of kind of what loops everybody in together. Nobody's afraid to go ask for help. Nobody's siloed away. So that's just, you know, just a ton of these little small things really kind of add up to having an organization that everybody enjoys being a part of 99% of the time. There's that 1% where we get on each other's nerves, but that's pretty minimal.
Well, and you've got some pretty intense work you're doing. I mean, you described this project you did for the armed forces.
Sure.
That was a very compressed 2-week project.
Yes.
Where if you don't have that emotional bank account,
right,
fully deposited with your employees, mm-hmm. You're going to have problems when it comes to projects like that.
Oh yeah. It's huge. It's, you know, the buy-in that we have is astronomical, and my job is to really make sure don't take that for granted.
And happy employees make for happy customers.
They do.
So
it's just like this big, beautiful circle where if everybody tries to make everybody else happy, then things just kind of work out.
That's great. Great story from Garrett Massey. He's the founder and president of Polyglot Labs in Griffin, beautiful Griffin, Georgia. And Griffin is beautiful. That's not a throwaway line. It's a pretty town. So, Griffin, for those that have heard what you had to say, would like to hear more from you, like to check you out, tell them how to do that,
yeah,
how to be in touch.
Definitely. You can check us out at polyglotlabs.com. So a polyglot is someone that speaks multiple languages, right? Or a polyglot programmer, somebody that works in multiple languages. So polyglot, P-O-L-Y-G-L-O-T, polyglotlabs.com. And all of our information is there.
Outstanding. Garrett, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Folks, today you're more connected than ever. And whether it's your friends or your family or your life, Renasant understands how you bank, offering the mobile banking services that you need. Renasant also knows that sometimes you need to speak to real people with real answers. And that's why Renasant has more than 170 convenient locations throughout the South ready to serve you. For more information, go to renasantbank.com. That's Renasant Bank. Understanding you. Member FDIC. a reminder that you can listen to this show every Tuesday morning live at 11:30 a.m. Or if you miss any of our live shows, no problem. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, whatever your favorite podcast app is. Overcast happens to be mine. Or go online at northfultonbusinessradio.com. Check out all the archive of our old shows there. Got some great guests, just like Garrett, that we've had here today. Please also follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, North Fulton BRX. That's North Fulton BRX. So for our guest, Garrett Massey of Polyglot Labs, easy for me to say, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.
Today, you're connected more than ever. Your friends, your family, your life. And banking is what you do on your time, anywhere you like. Renaissance understands how you bank, offering mobile banking services you need. At Renaissance, we also understand that sometimes you need to speak to real people with real answers. That's why Renaissance has more than 170 convenient locations throughout the South ready to serve you. Renaissance Bank, understanding you. Member FDIC.